In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's good to be at St. George's Church this morning. Good for us to be gathered for the worship of Almighty God. Good for us to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. And good for us to have this opportunity to connect as bishop and congregation on the occasion of the bishop's annual visit. I am grateful for your hospitality today, for your flexibility, good heavens, confirmation and Mother's Day all wrapped up into one. But I'm grateful for your hospitality and flexibility, and also grateful to you for your leadership as a congregation here at St. George's Church in the mission and ministry of the Diocese of Tennessee. Grateful for that leadership. St. George's has such a unique place in the Diocese of Tennessee in terms of leadership in the mission and ministry that we share. So I am so grateful to you for that leadership. I'm grateful to Malone, your rector, and for Colin and Marjorie and your other clergy staff for their leadership here at St. George's Church, but not only their leadership here in this congregation, but also their leadership more widely in the Diocese of Tennessee in several important ways for each of them. Nobody in the Diocese of Tennessee, none of its clergy really get to sit on the sidelines in terms of leadership. So I'm grateful to them for their leadership in our diocese. Also grateful to your vestry here at St. George's Church for its leadership, especially its leadership over the last several years, which have been for you all a time of transition in clergy leadership, but also a time in which we have been in the midst of a pandemic, which has been so challenging to leaders of all sorts in our society more widely, but also in the church. So I'm really grateful to your vestry for its leadership and also for its good stewardship of the resources that have been given you all here at St. George's Church for the mission and ministry of the church. So grateful to the vestry here at St. George's. Also grateful to all of those who help make possible the ministry of this congregation. I'm thinking about your lay staff, but also the many volunteers who help to resource this ministry here at St. George's. It really does take so many people to make it possible. I'm sure that you all are conscious of this. It takes a lot of people out on the stage, so to speak, and then behind the scenes in order to resource the vital ministries here. But amongst all the folks that I am grateful to today, I am grateful to you all for turning out and showing up today and making it possible for us to be the church here at this time and in this place. I think sometimes we think about church as a place we're going to go. It's already there. We arrive, we do whatever, and then, you know, we depart. But in fact, church is not so much a place where we go. It is a place where we gather, and without our gathering, the church is impossible. So you all are making it possible for us to be the church here today, here at 8:45. You all are doing that. I'm not doing that. And I'm incredibly grateful to you all for this foundational act of leadership of Christian people gathering on the Lord's Day, making it possible for us to be a church. Truly, it is good for us to be together here at St. George's Church this morning. From our gospel reading, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth." In our gospel today, Jesus promises the disciples that he will send them another advocate or helper to be with them. As we heard last week, he's sending the Holy Spirit, the advocate. He's sending the Holy Spirit because he's returning to the Father. he will no longer be with them in the same way that he has. Jesus goes to prepare a place for them in the house that has many mansions. In the meantime, before they gather again in that place, Jesus is sending the Advocate, or Holy Spirit, to teach them everything and to remind them of all the things that he has said. So they're going to be engaging in mission in a new way, and he's sending them the Holy Spirit. As Jesus says in our gospel, he will not leave the disciples orphaned. Do not let your hearts be troubled, he says, and do not let them be afraid. Just a little bit later in our chapter today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. So who is this advocate? Who is this Holy Spirit? There are many signs for the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Think about this for a moment. A rushing wind and tongues of flame at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples gathered in Jerusalem after Jesus' ascension into heaven, and the Spirit empowers them for their mission. More about this in a couple weeks at Pentecost. Or again, the sign of the Holy Spirit given at the River Jordan as the Spirit descends upon Jesus at his baptism in bodily form like a dove, as it says in St. Luke's Gospel. Now, these signs of the Spirit, a rushing wind, flames of fire, the dove descending in bodily form, all of these signs in the New Testament are prefigured in the Old Testament. In the wind from God that moves over the face of the water in the first chapter of Genesis, and in the dove that returns after the flood with the olive branch in its beak. There we see these same signs of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit that Jesus promises the disciples is a Spirit that brings new life in its wake. But the sign of the Spirit that we're given in our gospel today is different from these others. Perhaps less vivid than the wind, the flame, the dove descending, less vivid, but more personal. A helper, an advocate, a guide, personal. The Spirit, as Jesus says in our gospel today, is a teacher and a reminder, one who connects the disciples with Jesus, teaching and reminding of all that Jesus has said. The Spirit offers testimony to Jesus, it says a little bit later in the gospel. The Spirit is, of course, spiritual, which doesn't mean unreal or undetectable. You know, we sometimes use that word, spirit, spiritual, when, you know, we can't see it or really explain it. It's spiritual, but it doesn't mean unreal or even undetectable. It simply means that the Spirit is present in a different way from the incarnate Son of God. He will no longer be with them in the way that he has been, Jesus, but now he will give them the Spirit to be with them. The early bishop Irenaeus wrote centuries ago, that it is by the Spirit that we ascend to the Son, and by the Son that we ascend to the Father. The Spirit, you see, leads us to Jesus, and the Son leads us to the Father in John's Gospel. In other words, the mission of the Spirit is to lead people to Jesus, to connect them with Jesus, with all that he taught and all that he said. In John's Gospel, after his resurrection, Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit upon the disciples and sends them into the world. But of course, the Spirit is not waiting around for the church to bring the message, for the good news to get there, to bring healing and salvation. The Spirit is not waiting around for us, but the Spirit is already abroad in the world, present before the church gets there, paving the way by offering testimony to the truth, leading people to the only begotten Son. In our gospel, Jesus says that the Spirit will be with us forever. This helper, this guide, this advocate. And Jesus says, you know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. The world does not know him, but we know him because he abides in us. It's surprising. Jesus says in the third chapter of John's Gospel that the Spirit blows where it wills. The Spirit is given without measure. So it's surprising that we find the Spirit present within us. It seems like the Spirit can't be contained, can't be measured. It blows where it wills, so you can't really corral it anywhere. But yet this Spirit is present and abiding within us. Surprising. The helper, the guide, the advocate is within us. St. Paul gives us an assist here when he writes in the letter to the Romans, God's love has been poured forth in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Here we see a little bit more of the character of this anonymous Spirit. God's love has been poured forth in our hearts through that Spirit. And Paul writes again in Galatians, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And as Paul goes on in Romans, the Spirit is actually the one who prays within us. When we pray, it is the Spirit praying within us. Again, another clue to the character of this Spirit. When we celebrate the sacraments, our prayer is for the Holy Spirit to be powerful and present in our midst. Once again, the Spirit is with us. At baptism, we invoke the Spirit on the water of baptism. We ask the Spirit to move across those waters as the Spirit moved across the waters in the beginning of creation, and as the Spirit was present at Jesus' own baptism. Again, we pray that. And at the Holy Eucharist today, we invoke the same Spirit over the bread and wine of the Eucharist so that they may become for us the body and blood of Christ. Again, connecting us, the Spirit, to Jesus himself. And at confirmation this morning, we will pray as a congregation for the gifts of the same Spirit. And the bishop will lay hands on our candidates and pray for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit in order to equip our confirmands for the work that lies ahead. God's gift given here, the gift of the Spirit. Do you know this prayer to the Spirit? Maybe this is a good place to stop. This prayer from St. Simeon, an Eastern teacher of prayer. So here's just part of the prayer. Come, true light. Come, eternal life. Come, hidden mystery. Come, nameless treasure. Come, inexpressible reality. Come, inconceivable person. Come, endless happiness. Come, light that never sets. Come, O powerful one, who always makes, remakes, and transforms everything by your unique power. Come, my breath and my life. Come, consolation of my poor soul. Come, my joy, my glory, and my endless delight. Let this be our prayer today on this day of confirmation. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, let us ascribe as his most bounden, all bounden glory, honor, and power forever and forever.